Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 17th day of November, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Wheat and Tares. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. And by the way, Yah is just the shortened form of Yahweh, the same as Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. And for my kinsmen in the other half of Wales, Sitmai. Cymru am byth, others. We are in the question and answer mode, and callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you be very, very courteous if you call in and watch your language, as we do have a mixed audience. We do know that sometimes that's not possible, but do the best you can. Ella says here that the sound is good, but a little bit of distortion. Well, we've been having a lot of trouble with the internet of late. Hopefully tonight we'll be able to get through the program without much trouble. But you can't take it for granted, so we work while the sun shines, as the old farmers used to say, make hay while the sun shines. So while we have this technology working in our behalf, then we need to use it as quickly as possible. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. And reminding you again, the Daily Mail page is where we put current events up, and also we have added some additions to the front page or the home page for our website, including some updated information on those who wish to help us with donations, and they are greatly appreciated. The old PayPal system will be going away, so that's one reason I came up with the new donor box platform to use if you wish to use electronic forms of helping us out. And then if you contact me, I'll tell you how you can do it the old-fashioned way. Okay, to my kinsmen in other lands, we're going to start out with those that in the areas where they speak French. Mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. And, of course, for those folks out there that speak the Latin or the, I should say, the Castellano form of Spanish, a mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And, of course, our Germanic brothers and sisters, zu meinen Deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. So, again, we're going to go to Psalm 119 first here for a shorty. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I love the scriptures where they teach us so much in so few words. You know, there is a proverb that talks about a prudent man, meaning a wise man, says much with few words. I've noticed a lot of people love to pontificate, which means to just blather on endlessly. And there are times, of course, when casual conversation or whatever, you know, it's necessary and good. But a lot of times, in my experience, a lot of people are telling me the same story I've heard at least 30 or 40 or 50 times before. And so, again, not to be rude, but, you know, we have a lot of fish to fry, and we're getting late in the age here. So if you catch yourself pontificating, do your best to shorten it up and abbreviate what you have to say, because all of us are busy. Okay. And again, I don't want to step on toes, but try to be as concise and accurate in your communications as you can, because many of us have a lot of work to do. And that includes you, the listener. You have families, you have friends, And each of you is a living Bible to the world around you. And so at this late stage in the end of the age period, you've got a lot of work to do, too. You don't have time to be wasting reiterating statements over and over again, if you follow what I'm saying, all right? So, again, it's always interesting how our Savior, in his word, Yahweh, puts so much wisdom in so few words. Your word, meaning your plan, your spoken word, is a lamp to my feet. What's a lamp for? It lightens up the darkness, right, so you don't stumble and fall. It reveals things to you. So just as we talked about the wisdom of the scripture being good for edification for you and I, it is a lamp under our feet, meaning we don't make as many trips and falls if we allow it to enlighten our path. Okay? And the rest of the verse says that, actually, a light for my path. So basically, when you're walking along, it tells you of any hidden dangers, pitfalls, debris in the road, maybe an animal has crossed that path. I remember one time on my grandfather's dairy farm, we come walking down the path, and part of the path was concrete near a big pond, and there was a spillway that we walked over. And we were halfway from the barn into the farmhouse, and we looked back, and there was a snake coiled up in the middle of that path. And where that snake came from, I have no idea to this day, because we're only talking maybe 4 seconds, 5 seconds after we walked that very path, and it was clear there's this snake coiled up in the middle of that path. So weird things happen. So you need a light under your path so you don't get bit, you don't get a stumbling block, etc., and let Yahweh and the Holy Spirit speak to you and guide you. Now, before we get into current events, I wanted to go to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll visit a topic that we've talked about so many times, and that's the parable of the wheat and the tares. Because we are deep in that right now, okay? A lot of the platforms that I'm watching are warning of some dire things happening, but, I mean, really, in the last year and a half, what isn't dire at this point? So we'll start with verse 36. Then Yahshua, and I'm using the World English Bible, then Jesus or Yahshua sent the multitudes away and went into the house. His disciples came to him. So now he's talking just to his disciples. And they said, explain to us the parable of the darnel weeds of the field. Now, most translations and King James puts the tare, because that's the old English word for the darnel weed. Now, the darnel plant and wheat are almost identical as they grow, from the time they sprout through the ground until the kernels of wheat are on the stem, the two plants are almost indistinguishable, okay? So it's saying that these two weeds or these two plants are going to grow in the field, and they look almost identical. Verse 37, he, being Yahshua, answered them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Sows the good seed. So we're part of the good seed. And the field is the world. So we are in the world. We are his seed. And the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom. And the darnel weeds, or tares, are the children of the evil one. And an image just popped in my head of Zuckerberg, okay? Either him or George Soros or even one of the Rothschilds. You could take your pick. If you want to see what evil walking on this earth looks like, just picture those characters, okay? Evil. Or the former governor of New York and the current governor of New York and the governor of Michigan. Children of the evil one. Just look in their eyes. You want to see walking darnel plants or tares? There you go. Verse 40, As therefore the darnel weeds or tares are gathered up. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one here. Got to go back to 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, or ha diablos. Now, when in the Greek language they put the in front of devil, they're talking usually about the Antichrist. If they just say diablos in talking about people, it means an adversary, somebody who's diabolical or an adversary. When it goes ha diablos, ha in ancient Greek is the equivalent of our word the. And it's very similar to, like in French, le and la, and the same thing in Spanish, el, okay, the. So here we go. So the enemy who sowed them, meaning the darnel or tares, is of the wicked one, the evil one. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. In the Greek word, angelos or angelos, which is where we get the word angel, it means messengers, okay? It has nothing to do with whether they're supernatural or not. So the reapers are his angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of this age. Okay, again, as therefore the darnel weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angelos, angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling. Now, some versions put all things that offend him, and those who do iniquity, basically the wicked, people who do wicked things, meaning things against what? God's will. The only person who can define what is moral and what is not is our Heavenly Father. No earthly people were ever given that right to determine those things. All morality comes from Him, not man. Take a look around you. You live in a world right now, especially you Western nation people and those of us here in North America. You're living in the result of men deciding what's moral and what isn't, versus our Father in heaven. So again, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, meaning taking them out of the kingdom amongst us, all things that cause stumbling and those who do iniquity, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Where do we read other places about the wicked being burned up? Let me see. I think that's Malachi 4, isn't it? Also Obadiah 18, Ezekiel 25, verse 14, all talk about the wicked being gathered up and utterly destroyed, which is what this is saying. When you throw any kind of plant, but particularly a darnel plant that's been cut and thrashed and put out, you throw it into a furnace of fire, there ain't nothing left. Okay? There's nothing left. Then the righteous, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's verse 43. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43, the parable of the weeds explained. Now again, in a few short verses, we're told a lot. We're told who the children of our Father are. We're told who is in the kingdom and who is not. Where do the wicked come from? They are the children of the evil one. We're going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 again, aren't we? The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. This is a racial thing. This is an alien versus mankind thing. And a lot of people, they don't get it. They try to complicate it. They go, oh, this is a very spiritual thing, and you really have to have good discernment. You don't need a hell of a lot of discernment. It's spelled out right for you. The Holy Spirit and common sense testify to the truth. That can be found in Thessalonians. Okay? The Spirit testifies to the truth, meaning the Spirit within you. If you're his son or daughter, again, we are his children, therefore we are the children of light, the children of the Father. So, there was another one I wanted to tell in the parables here I wanted to bring up real quick. And, it's down here. Further down in chapter 13, where it says that Yeshua was rejected at Nazareth. So, when Yeshua had finished these parables, he departed from there, coming into his own country. He taught them in their synagogue. Now, this word synagogue comes from a Greek word spelled almost identical, synagoge. It means a gathering place. Okay, so a thing that we know as a synagogue today is stolen from this type of verse. Now, when we're talking about our people, such as here, he went into his own country and taught them. Who's that? He's going to talk to his Israelite friends, his Israelite kinsmen. He's not talking to anybody else. So he says, when he taught them in their synagogue, today's reader would look at that and go, oh, they must have been Jews. What? No, they're not. It's just saying he went to their temple or church or barnyard or home, wherever the gathering place was. So that they were astounded and said, where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary or Miriam, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? They were offended by him. Oh, they were offended. Does that sound familiar when you're trying to talk to people? When you walk around and you know what's up and you know what's going on in the world versus all these automatons and these diaper-wearing morons that walk around the world? I'm just saying. And again, I know I'm stepping on toes when I say about wearing a diaper equates to a moron, but this late in the game, if you're still wearing a diaper and you haven't figured out yet that that's about the most useless thing you could possibly do, then you are a moron, quite frankly. The information's everywhere. In fact, to be quite frank, if you picked up the box the damn masks come in, it says that right on the side of the box. Okay, so if you're that stupid and lazy, hold on a minute. If you're that stupid and lazy, you can't even pick up a box and you're going to put something over your face that you're going to wear for many hours in the day when nobody in the healthcare industry would ever tell you that that's a smart thing to do, because it's not. But you're going to wear it all day and you didn't even in all that time, in all these months, ever take the time to pick the box up and read what it's good for and what it's not good for? Come on, let's face it. You are a moron, okay? So he says they were offended by him, but Yeshua said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house, meaning his own immediate family. So in his own country, and back in the day this was written, countries were occupied by a homogeneous people. The Greeks were Aryan Greek. The Romans were our people. The Celts were our people. The Germanic tribes were our people. The Caucasian Rus of Russia were our people. Okay, so when he says in their own country, he's talking about lands occupied by a homogeneous people. And America started out that way. In the 1700s and the 1800s, if you told somebody you were an American, they assumed you were a Caucasian, because white European men founded this country. It's only in the latter part of our empire that we are now, when the small hat wearing Jews have infiltrated our government, our media, and completely brainwashed the white people of this nation, has anybody even ever thought of giving citizenship to somebody who wasn't white? The founding fathers did not intend that. I hope you know that. And again, if you haven't figured it out, then I have to put you in the category of one, either a moron, or number two, lazy as hell. Because all you have to do is go read the Federalist Papers, especially number two, written by John Jay, where he specifically spells out that citizenship in this country belongs to the European race, meaning white race, Caucasian race, which, whatever term you want to use, it doesn't matter. The 12 tribes of Jacob Israel. And no, Jews do not belong to that group of people. So a prophet is without honor, is not without honor. So he does have honor, except in his own country, not, and in his own house, meaning his own people don't typically accept the prophet. He has to go somewhere else, to a foreign land, and sometimes even to a foreign race, because our people are slow to wake up. Have you ever noticed that? Slow, as my mom and dad used to say, you're as slow as molasses in winter. I used to laugh every time my mother would say that. You're as slow as molasses in winter. And if you've ever had a jar with molasses in it and took it outside in the middle of winter, you know that's damn slow. So, because we tried it one time when I was a kid. We took the molasses out of the cupboard and we went outside in the winter time, and yep, no doubt about it, that molasses barely moves at all. So we're in this time of the wheat and the tares, and we've been given a hint, because the wheat does the work of our father. The tares do the work of the evil one. So it's not necessarily 100% racial, because some of our people who have the right DNA, but they've got the wrong software, so to speak. They've got the right hardware, as a computer technician would say. It's the right hardware, but the software is all screwed up. And for people that aren't computer savvy, hardware is like your desktop computer, your monitor, your external disk drives, your cables, the modem. That's all called hardware, meaning you can touch it, you can pick it up. Software is the code that tells the central processor what to do with the information. Hold on a second. So software is, actually it's not invisible. You can print it out and take a look at it if you're a code reader. But it wouldn't make much sense to somebody if you're not trained in Fortran or Watt 5 or whatever type of programming language your computer uses. I can see Chris is listening in. He knows all about that. He's a senior programmer. So it's not a job that most people are very good at, because you got to have a calling to look through all those thousands and thousands and thousands of lines of code to study that stuff and manipulate it and edit it and all that. You got to have a calling for that, okay? You really, really do. So one of the things I wanted to talk about today is, how do we discern who the wheat are versus the tares? Because the tares sometimes we are still in the growing stage. And right now, a lot of people appear to be one of us. And at the time of the harvest, Yahweh's going to look for the fruit. Meaning, what did you do with your life? We talked about that in this program many times. Your life is his gift to you. He gave you life. What you do with it is your gift back to him. What is the fruit of your existence on this earth? What fruit did you bear? And was it good fruit or evil fruit? So he's going to judge us. And again, the analogy is to wheat, which grows straight up. And here comes the darnel plant right next to it. Looks exactly like it. Until the end of the growing season, or in this case, the end of the age. At that time, the wheat is now bent over, as in us being bent over in humiliation or in reverence to our Father, bending over in obedience to our Father. So the wheat is bent over because the grains of wheat are now full and they are golden and they are heavy. So they make the plant bend over. Good fruit. Not sticking straight up, but bent over in submission to our Father, bearing good fruit. That's the wheat. That's how you know it bears good fruit. It's obvious. You can see it. The personality of the person is one of humility and service to his brothers and sisters, service to the King of Kings. Not haughty, not proud, not narcissistic. Whereas the darnel plant, which we can equate to Jewish behavior, it's sticking straight up, just like the typical Jew, with a haughty attitude, a better than you attitude. We deserve to rule the world. Every race is here to be our slaves. And again, I'm taking their words now. These are not my words. These are the words of rabbis and distinguished Jews throughout, if you can call them distinguished, but prominent, let's say prominent Jews throughout history. And recently, even very outspoken rabbis have said, yes, indeed, we are the masters of the world. It's our right. It's our duty to our God, Lucifer. And every other race is here to serve us and to be our slaves. Okay, does that not fit then with this parable? Because the darnel plant sticking straight up, not bending to anything because it thinks it's the best thing out there, and the seeds of the darnel plant are pitch black. They are very dark, and they are toxic to humans. If you were to pluck the seeds off a darnel plant and eat them, you will get sick, very sick. I've read some accounts that said that if you have a certain body type or whatever, you could possibly even die from eating them. But for sure, they are poisonous to we, the sons and daughters of the Most High. The fruit of the Jew is poison. As Christ himself said to the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, that they were of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they do. They were here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you look at the history of the Jew in this world, that's exactly what they have been doing, and they are doing it like no tomorrow in the last 100 years. I heard a Christian ministry talk about the fact that in the last 100 years, more believers have lost their lives for their faith than in all of history before. In all the centuries since Christ, more people have sacrificed their life because of their belief to these heathens, such as the Muslims, the Jews, the communists, who are Jews, and other peoples like that who detest the followers of Christ. More people have died for the profession of Christ in this century, in the past 100 years, than in all the many hundreds of years since Christ. Now, how you get an accurate count of that, I'm not sure. But this is what this ministry was saying. And it sort of makes sense, because with modern technology and a vast increase in the number of people walking the earth. Between the technology and the weapons of war being what they were in the last 100 years and the sheer number of humans on the earth, then it would stand to reason that more bodies, more souls have been lost for the profession of Christianity in the last 100 years than in all the years before. That's very possible. It's a logical conclusion. So again, all the indicators of us being at the end of the age appear to be before us, are they not? There's been a drastic increase in knowledge and information. Now, information and knowledge are not necessarily the same. Knowledge equates to truth, whereas information can be either wrong or right. So we have a lot of information flowing over the internet and electronic media, but it's not all truth. In fact, I would dare say in this day and age that the majority of it is a lie. Now, number one is on my list of things to be of your on your radar screens in this end of the age scenario. Is the fact that the financial system is on the brink, okay? I listen to several broadcasts by people I tend to believe, at least on matters of finance, that we are on the brink of a collapse of the fiat dollar system, and that's pretty obvious. Okay, they're printing or creating, I should say, because they created in a computer, so they're not really printing anything. They just create it in digits. Digits in a computer. Can't get much easier than that, can you? How hard is it to take a number and add zeros behind it in a computer? It's not hard at all. That's all they're doing. And since we have a government completely out of control, this cacistocracy is run by 100% sociopaths, and they have no constraints whatsoever. They have no feeling of remorse for what they do. They don't care about what they're doing to our future generations, and they don't care what the public thinks about what they do, and they don't care what the Constitution and every other piece of legislation that's been created. They just simply don't care. Again, why? Because they're not of our kind. This is why Scripture is very, very clear on the matter of kind after kind. And in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where it says that you shall not give political power or rulership to anyone outside your race. Now, it says that specifically. So anybody teaching that anybody that walks in shoe leather can run for office and hold a position of power and it's okay and that's what our fathers intended, they're liars. They are deceivers, and they are liars. Nowhere did our founding fathers, because they did understand Scripture, and they did understand history, and they know what tyrants come from and what they do, and they also know what destroyed empires in the past, such as the Egyptian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the Media Empire, the Scythian Empire, and the Parthian Empire. They were all related to race mixing, especially the Egyptian, because you can ask any Egyptologist, and if they're honest, they're going to tell you the greatest dynasties of the Egyptian Empire were in the first four dynasties. The first four, not the latter dynasties over a period of thousands of years. The first four, when the great architectural buildings were put up and the pyramids, etc. That was during the first four dynasties when the rulers of Egypt and most of the Egyptians of the empire were Aryans. And if you don't know anything about that, well, again, I'm sorry, but at this late stage, with as much information that's accessible with a little bit of work and effort, you're lost. Okay, that information is everywhere. You can go to the books of E. Raymond Capt, Dr. Barry Fell, Stephen Collins, You can, there's Robert Seffer is a current archaeologist who does a lot of YouTubes. You can go to tons and tons of places and find this information out. Not only that, National Geographic and other prominent magazines have pictorial entries where they show statues and computer regenerations of mummies that they found and everything. And they're Caucasians. Like Nefertiti was known for her great beauty. The statues and the descriptions of Nefertiti is obvious that she was white. Cleopatra was white. She may not have been like all white, but she was like 90% white because of her features and her intellect. She spoke like seven languages. She was trained in the sciences and math. So not only was she a beautiful woman, she was extremely intelligent. And therefore, why she was sought after by some of the Romans, like Mark Antony and people like that. So again, these things are out there if you just care to look for them and find out about the fingerprints and footprints of our people. Ella sent me something here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ella says here, the original Egyptians killed any Nubians or black people who came into their territory. Yes, they did. On site, as a matter of fact. And there were warning posts and signposts put up at the borders, the southern borders of the Egyptian kingdom, that basically said that. If you trespass into our kingdom, you will be killed on site. But again, our people, just as they are today, tend to get very stupid, very lazy, and they fall into the trap of drunkenness, entertainment, lavish living. They lose their common sense, and they fall into the race-mixing conundrum where you pollute the gene pool, but you also bring the average IQ of the population down, which always equates to more crime and more chaos. And there's whole books written on this subject. If you contact me, I'll be glad to send you the titles. If you go to my website under recommended reading, you'll find a whole host of books that I've recommended there, and some of them deal with this topic. So again, you don't have to trust me. Go look at the works of Charles Weissman and Charles Murray and Thomas Dalton and many of the other authors that I have listed there. Okay, again, I'm just regurgitating the information that was there, plus what common sense tells me. I can see the results of race mixing in the world around me. I don't even have to read a single book. I don't have to read a single page in the Bible. I don't have to be in front of any professor to explain to me the disastrous effects of race mixing. It's obvious. It's obvious. To anybody with their eyes open, to anybody that has a brain that functions, it's obvious. And again, we have the historical evidence of like ancient Egypt and many of the other kingdoms that did not follow the homogenous rule for a peaceful and powerful nation. They become empires. That's the difference between a nation, which is made up of one racial group, versus an empire that's made up of a diverse group. Empires never survive, and that's why. Chaos, internal conflict, no agreement between the peoples, because you can't, even with force, you cannot get people to live together that don't belong together. It just creates tension, which will create crime and chaos, violence, etc. And again, you just got to read these books and find it out. So we have a financial crisis on the horizon. And some of these people are advocating that you get out there, as we've told you for now almost 22 years, that you need to be stocked up on 3 to 6 months worth of goods in your house at all times so that you can stay hunkered down when the violence starts. And I'm talking about the real violence, not this petty staged crap that's being put out there for consumption over the media. And that includes the alternative media. A lot of this stuff is just bullshit. Total bullshit. made for your consumption, your diversion, your to keep you from noticing what is going on in other places. Okay, so again, like a diversion. But you do need that. You do need to be stocked up. And they're recommending, of course, some of your assets in precious metals, but not a lot. But have some precious metals, have a little bit of cash, but make sure you have the material things that are going to get harder and harder to get. Now, these platforms also talked about that there is already a shortage of critical components such as chips, but not just chips. They talked about the fact that companies are now cannibalizing parts off of like 18-wheeler tractor trailers. Some of the older tractor trailers are being stripped of their parts to put on the newer trucks that are on the road because they can't get parts. Okay? This is by design, by the way. These shortages aren't because there isn't enough metal or factories or workers or ships on the ocean or delivery trucks. No, no, no. This is by design. This is what the New World Order clowns, the Klaus Schwabs, a Jew, the Bill Gates, a Jew, the Jeff Bezoses, the Jew, and on and on and on. All these creatures are Jewish. All of them. Now, some of them admit it, and others try to hide it, but they all have Jewish DNA running through their veins, and they do the works of their father, the devil. They don't have mankind's best interests at heart. That's why they can lie with impunity constantly, just like Zuckerberg. Every time that hideous-looking creature gets in front of a screen, it makes me want to vomit. Who would believe anything that creature says? Or an Anthony Fauci, another crypto Jew. Who would listen to this guy? I mean, all you got to do is put a pitchfork in his hand and put a set of horns by his head, and he's the devil incarnate. And that's why, again, I don't trust any politicians, including Trump. I don't trust anything in government, period. Because none of these clowns has stood up to the lies coming out of the CDC and the WHO, NIH, the mainstream news media, etc. Nobody's standing up to them, people. So why would you trust any of them? So now that we're at the end of the age, we're told that there'll be a proliferation of lies and a famine for truth. And we're there. We're there. Some of the things that I'm using to gauge whether I listened to anybody. Number one, if they promote the vaccine, it's obvious. They are liars. If they promote the wearing of the dirty diaper and all that or social distance, they are liars. If they try to bash the German people from World War I or World War II, I turn them off. Okay? If you can focus in on the Germans and what is alleged that they did, and gloss over what we know the Jewish Bolsheviks, the communists, have done to multiple hundreds of millions of people. If you're going to gloss over those monsters and try to pick on the poor Germans, then I don't need to listen to you. Because you're either part of the cover-up or you're a moron who just regurgitates the Jewish propaganda lies and doesn't do any research themselves. Because if you look into World War II and do the research, you'll figure out it was not the Germans. The Germans did not want war in the First World War, and they sure as hell did not want war when Adolf Hitler came around. And Adolf Hitler did not want war. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, and this is, you can verify this if you do the historical research and stop watching goddamn television and movies. I'm sick of it. If you're watching those, stay away from me because your brain just does not function. Stay away from me because the truth is not going to permeate your brain. I'm sorry. Unless you're one of them rare individuals who knows how to watch that garbage and still keep your focus. But that's a rare individual. The average person, if they're watching movies or watching television, forget it. Now I just went and lost my train of thought. Yeah, it'll come back to me. Boy, I hate it when that happens. So anyway, the information coming over television, flat screens, obvious lies, deceptions, and staged events, and you don't listen to those. Always talking about what people you listen to. So again, folks that get their information from those media outlets, etc., or watch them, leave them alone. If they got a diaper on, leave them alone. If they got a vaccine, leave them alone. Unless they have repented. Now, if they repented, that's a little different story. But if they got it, they're proud of it, ever, leave them alone. If they don't know the truth of World War II and World War I, leave them alone. if they're promoting that Jesus was a Jew, leave them alone. If they say the Jews are God's chosen people, leave them alone. If they say Israel's our friend and we have to maintain good relationships with Israel, leave them alone. Okay, because they're either part of the problem or they're an idiot. Either way, do you want to associate with them? Do you want to have fellowship with them? I know I don't. So again, leave them alone. And as far as scripture, I just downloaded the latest version of eSword, and my version was like 2 or 3 years old, and they've made some vast improvements. I would highly recommend it. It's free of charge, folks. I mean, come on. And it is a great tool, because if you click on the download button at the top, they have a pile of versions of the Bible, all kinds of versions of the Bible, in many languages, free of charge. They have many concordances, dictionaries, commentaries, and editor's notes, all free of charge. You download what you want, if you just want a few or if you want a ton. Now, they have some premium ones that you do have to pay a small price for, but just the free stuff is like 100 times more than what you need to do any kind of serious word searches and descriptions and definitions, etc., of Greek and Hebrew and things like that. They even have a section where you can highlight some verses and click on explanation, and they'll go into the commentaries on those particular verses by like Matthew Henry and different pontificators of information on those sort of subjects. So again, eSword, highly recommend. I like to every now and then go donate $5, $10, whatever, because Mr. Mayer that put this together is a tremendous amount of work. And I'm going to tell you, if you had to buy the hard copies of all the stuff that he's providing on that screen, you'd spend a small fortune. And I know, because in the early 1980s and up to the middle of the 1990s, when there were no Bible programs on computers, I had to buy those very same books, those lexicons and dictionaries and different translations. I had to buy them. I had to find them, and then I had to buy them. So you have a great asset and tool there if you want to use it. Now, along those lines, I was going to go ahead and give this as an example. I've got the World English Bible up. You go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 1. So it's easy to remember. James, or Jacob in the actual Greek text, meaning Jacob. So this book should have been named Jacob. But it was named James because of the King James Version. How about that? So it should be Jacob, Jacob. So you go to James or Jacob, chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse in it, and that's a way to tell whether that book that you're holding in your hands should be read by you or not. Okay, a lot of people say, well, Dan, how can you do that with just one verse? Well, there's actually about 5 verses I look up. But this is the first one I go to, because if they can't get this one right, why would I trust them with anything else? because the devil is in the details. So you go to James 1:1, and it says, James or Jacob or Jacob, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion, greetings. Okay, so now here's one of the books of the New Testament written by James or Jacob. And he's addressing this letter to who? To the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Did he say to everything in shoe leather, everything with two arms and two legs, every race known to man, to the four corners of the earth? How do you have four corners on a globe, by the way? Never mind. Don't want to go into there. How come he didn't say to all the poor souls of the earth? Why did he address it to the 12 tribes in the dispersion? The Israelites, the receivers of the covenants and the promises. Why didn't he address it to everybody? Why was it for centuries that the Christian religion was called the white man's burden? Why was that? Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that every nation that professes Christ as the national religion is white? Now, not all white nations are Christian, but the ones who have a national faith of Christianity, followers of Christ, is white. Now, why would you suppose that is in this age of deception and lies, misdirection, and a famine for truth? Why do you think that is? And again, we can go through other verses in there, but that's one of my favorite verses to grab on any book. In fact, let me grab one off my shelf. Now, I bought these two versions just for this demonstration. That's the only thing I use them for, is when I want to show you how people can be lied to. And this is it's called God's Word, today's Bible translation that says what it means. Yeah, right. So let me get to James real quick here. James chapter 1, verse 1. We'll do a little test here and see what they say. And I know that they botched it, because that's why, again, I bought this version to use it. But we'll go to James 1. From James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God's faithful people who have been scattered. And then there's a footnote. Now, again, the devil's in the details. How many people read footnotes? To God's faithful people, footnote Alpha, or little a. You go down to the bottom, or to the 12 tribes. Now, let me ask you, folks, if you were a translator and gave you a text and you were very proficient in ancient Greek, and it said, from James to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, how would you go from that to God's faithful people and be honest? Okay, so again, God's Word just sits on the shelf so I can pull it out for that kind of nonsense. And the other one is called The Book. Now, they don't call it the Bible, they call it The Book, which is what Biblos means, by the way. And we'll go find James here again. Now, this one really cracks me up. Greetings from James. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written to Jewish Christians scattered amongst the nations, greetings. Now, let me ask you, would you trust anything in that book that botched that one verse that badly? Jewish Christians? That's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as Jewish Christians. Jews hate Christ. Their religion hates Christ. Their Talmud and their teachings denigrate Christ. And people say, well, Christianity sprang from Judaism. Really? Again, you're showing your stupidity. Your utter lack of knowledge and stupidity. The very Arian Christ, who had nothing good to say about Jews and outed them for the monsters that they are, so much so that they orchestrated a phony trial and had him murdered to shut him up. And they'll murder you and me to shut us up. And yet you've got pontificating prostitutes called preachers out there teaching that the Jews are God's chosen people. Really? Go read the book of Obadiah, verse 18. There's only one chapter in the book, so you don't need to say chapter 1. There is only one chapter. So just say verse 18 in the book of Obadiah, one of the latter prophets, and go read what they're chosen for, because according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, ancient Edom Esau is in Jewry or Judaism. So if you want to know where the ancient Edomites and Esauites are today, you look at the people who call themselves Jews. Okay, again, now somebody just put something up in the chat about the New International Version, which I can't stand, by the way. Okay, now the NIV, which is the New International Version, they do put the 12 tribes. But again, that's why I have more than one verse that I check. But I've found the NIV to be wrong in so many places, I stopped using it many years ago. Is it easier to read? Yeah, it's in more modern English, but its accuracy in many cases is wanting. At least that's what I've found. And there's so many better translations today. Even the Bible in Basic English or the World English Bible I find to be very good. Or the Scriptures, which is produced in South Africa, and it has the sacred names preserved in it. I also use Brenton's Old Testament Bible and the Bishop's New Testament Bible, as well as the texts in the original Greek, such as the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, which has both Old and New Testament in the Greek, as the Septuagint had it. The Septuagint is the Greek Old Testament. So, and it reminds me of the story I read many years ago, that at William and Mary College, back when we were colonies, all of the major colleges, such as Harvard, Yale, William and Mary, Penn, etc., they were all seminaries. That's what they started out as, seminaries. And to get into William and Mary College back in the 1600s, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek. That's how well you had to be able to translate the ancient Greek language. You could actually debate one another in the college campus in the original Greek. So you didn't have to have just a working knowledge of it. You had to be able to get up there and actually get into debates with people using that ancient tongue. And I remember when I read that, I thought, that's kind of odd. Why didn't they have to learn Hebrew? Since we had texts of both. Wouldn't it make sense that they should know both? Well, there was a good reason for that, is because there's almost zero text available today in the Paleo Hebrew of the Old Testament. And we're not talking the block Hebrew that was invented by Jews. We're talking about the Hebrew of our ancestors, which is Paleo Hebrew. There's almost zero text that we know of that's available for people to translate. So the translation used by scholars up until that time was the Greek Septuagint and the New Testament scriptures written in Aramaic and Greek. So therefore, that was the reason to study the Greek, because you could get texts to translate for the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Greek language. Just a little tidbit there, a little side note. So again, Bibles that don't get certain key verses right, I leave out there. Or if one of the downfalls is I can't find any English version that has gotten rid of the word Jew, because the word Jew does not belong in any of our Bibles. And yet I can't find any English Bibles that have thrown that word out and replaced it with Judean or Jehudite. Now, the Judaios, meaning Jehudite or Judean, stood for the people that we call Jews today, because they were known as just the people of Judah, or Judea. Because once the Israelites left the area, it ceased to be the kingdom of Judah and became Judea, because it was a mixed multitude. So when it was our people who lived there during the time of King David, etc., it was known as Judah or Judah. So if they said Judaios at that period of time, referring to somebody from that period of time, they would have been talking about a Judahite, meaning one of the 12 tribes. But once we left there and it became known as Judea, and the people who lived there as Judeans, the racial mix of people, then that same word Judaios in that context was just talking about anybody from that land. It could have been any race. And when it's referring to the Sadducees and Pharisees of the people who were known as Esau Edom, then obviously they're talking about the people called Jews today. But that word Jew did not exist in the English language until the 1700s. Okay, that's 1700 years later, after Christ, did the word Jew even exist. In Shakespeare's play, he called them EWE, which you could say some people call that EWE, but it's you. In Old English, it would be you, as in Yuda, and you becomes Jew. You see how that happens? So in the days of Shakespeare, there was no J-E-W. He used E-W-E for you, as in Yuda, Judean. You get it? Yuda. So again, it takes a little bit of deciphering and analyzing, but you can see how over the centuries we've been led down this path to erroneously label certain people, so that people like John Hagee and the rest of those misfits, prostitutes that proclaim Jews to be God's chosen people, are just completely out to lunch. But again, the average person who's very trusting would go to a seminar or to a service and listen to the pompous ass pontificate on how great Jews are and Israel is, and walk away thinking he knows what he's talking about. But if you do the research, you find out he's a blowhard. He doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, and he's deceiving many. He has a curse upon him as well, as the prophets told us, that those who would deceive us and lead us to the slaughter, there is a curse upon them. And at some point in time, their own family, including their own parents, will help hunt them down for their treason against mankind, to lift up Satan's kids as if they're something special. The world is starting to wake up to the fact that the Jew is the enemy of mankind. It's not a coincidence that every face, every voice, every background that you check into of these creatures that are doing these bad and evil, wicked things upon mankind is always tied to Jews. For instance, like I said, Bezos, Jew. Soros, Jew. Rothschild, Jew. Rockefeller, Jew. Eisenhower, Jew. Okay, Schumer, Jew. Pelosi, Jew. Cuomo, Jew. That witch that took his place, Jew. Whitmer in Michigan, Jew. Facebook, Jew. Twitter, Jew. Google, Jew. The world financiers that pay and run all of and finance all these things that are taking down the Western civilization, all financed by Jewish organizations, all of them. Klaus Schwab, that hideous thing that is part of the World Economic Forum, another Zionist devil-worshipping Jew. The world is waking up to that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are in the end times. We are in the times of Obadiah and Ezekiel and Malachi and Matthew. Matthew 13, where his servants, the sons of the living God, will finally get their heads out of their asses. And instead of fighting each other, let's fight the enemy that's destroying this earth that we live on and the people on it. That's all it takes, is us to finally get our heads cleared, pick our leaders, and decide that we've had enough of this bullshit. That's all it takes. Once you take these nefarious Darnell plants, these tares, out of the world, and all of their nefarious machinations, guess what? Almost instantly, common sense, prosperity, and peace comes on the earth. Wouldn't it be nice to know your sons and daughters won't be going off to fight any more of these Jewish wars? Wouldn't it be nice to know that the funds that you earn in your job will stay with you? There will be no more inflation. There'll be no more taxation. That you could put your money into whatever kind of depository system you want, and 100 years from now, it will buy literally the same amount of things. Wouldn't that be nice to know? That you would own the piece of ground that you use to clothe and feed and water and provide shelter for your family will stay in your name as long as you live? That no entity, no taxing authority, no bureaucracy, no Jew banker can kick you off your land? It is a sacred possession. That's under God's law. Wouldn't you prefer that? I know I would. Maybe men have grown accustomed to being slaves. Maybe that's the problem today. We have lost the vision. In fact, that's in the book of Proverbs. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. That's in the Proverbs twice. But there's also a verse that says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. A lack of vision. They can't even envision living under God's law. They've been under the yoke of Jewish tyranny for so long that they don't even know what it's like to be free and at liberty. They don't even know anymore. You've got so many licenses and registrations and taxes and bureaucracies and rules and that are over you and on top of you and stealing from you. And you wonder why stress levels are up, heart attacks are up, divorce is up, the dysfunctional families are up, and people are falling for the greatest lies ever told to mankind. Because the thing that brings us back on center and back on track is Yahweh and Yahweh's word. It's really that simple. As we read in that scripture at the beginning of the show, his word, his truths, his knowledge, his law is a light unto our path and unto our feet. It's what guides you. It's what separates you from the tares out there. Or as in some cases they would say, it separates the men from the boys. I interviewed a guy named Doug Giles, or Giles, I guess is how he pronounces it, G-I-L-E-S, Doug Giles, in Texas. And he has a program and a ministry called Clash Daily, I think it's called. Clash Daily. And I interviewed him, and he wrote a book called Pussification. Basically how our boys are pussified is the term he used. Instead of becoming men as they were in our ancestors' time, they are basically turned into little soy boys today. They're not allowed to be men because we've been effeminate. We've become an effeminate society. And according to his prediction, real men are going to become quite an asset in the near future. They will become a sought-after commodity because there are so few of us around anymore. And I don't consider myself a great example of a true man. I really don't. But when I look at what walks in shoe leather up and down the streets around here lately, maybe I'm not as far down the chain as I thought. I've been tested by the Father in several areas over my lifetime, but there's a lot of testing I have not been through that I think really tells if you're a real man or not. And a lot of it has to do with, are you willing to give up your life? Are you willing to give up your life for Him, for the Savior? Are you willing to give up your life for your family? Are you willing to give up your life for your principles, for your faith? That's what Yahshua said defines and separates the men from the boys. Because really, if you think about it, if we love our life enough that we'll sacrifice any of those things I mentioned, then we're not worthy of the title man. We're just simply boys, boys that grew older, but never really developed into men. Because men are willing to lay down their life for the things that matter. And hopefully we choose the hill to die on based on our faith and our logical brains rather than emotionalism. But every single day I think about that. What hill is there that I'm willing to die on? Because it's getting close to that. My personal feeling is that Yahshua is going to put an end to this before we're taken out. But that's just the feeling I have. The point of it is we have to be mentally prepared to die on that hill in case He tarries. Because we can no longer tolerate this insane, Judified world that we find around us. We're killing ourselves. We're killing our children. We're killing our families. We're killing our future. And we're killing the very ecosystem that we rely on, all for the sake of these hideous monsters that walk in shoe leather, that are so easy to identify, it beggars description. And how people can believe the likes of Kenneth Copeland and Robert Schuller and John Hagee and what's that other clown's name? Joel Osteen, or however he pronounces it. I mean, he's an obvious creature. But the words coming out of the mouth is like, it's like a serpent talking to you. How in the world could you believe him? It's just like a Fauci or a Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates. These people are monsters. Why would anybody believe anything they say? They're smarmy little creatures. They're just ugly creatures, monsters, without a shred of humanity or empathy for mankind. Not a shred. It shows you what huge sums of money will do to a person. That's why the scripture tells us not to seek after fame and fortune, because they can actually be like a millstone around your neck. There's a prayer in scripture, I remember reading it many years ago, that says, give me enough to provide for me and my family so that I do not steal and embarrass my family or you, my Savior. But do not give me so much that I think I don't need you. In other words, be right in the middle. You don't want to be a pauper, but you also don't want to carry the burden of riches. Because pretty soon that's what you live for instead of the right things. So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to cover today. If anybody has anything they want to report or bring to our attention or ask or whatever, now would be a good time to do it. Let me just check the chat real quick and see if there was anything. Life insurance companies are already talking about not paying the vaccinated. Yeah, they're going to try to get out of that because they know it's bad. Franklin Graham, heart surgery, post-vax. Yeah, he's a crypto Jew. He's scum. Scum. I don't see anything else. And let's see here. I think we might have a caller. My software here. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm going to try to bring you on, Chris. Chris, you're on the air, bud.
Hey, how's it going? Are we having fun yet?
Oh, we're having a blast, aren't we?
good times. So I was pretty late in the day. I don't know if you saw the whole OSHA thing kind of got like temporarily suspended earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Yeah. The primary reason I was calling is it seems like you've kind of shifted your position on the whole Mark of the Beast issue, and doesn't sound like you're so sure like the last couple of weeks. So I was just curious as to where you're at with that.
I don't know that I shifted, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, when Keith was on, I think the two of you said that you weren't sure if this was the Mark of the Beast or it was turning into the Mark of the Beast.
Well, it's a transitionary thing in the sense that you can still buy and sell today. They are heading towards tying it into 100% the mark. But if you go by scripture, if you go by what's written that we have for us today, it says you could not buy or sell without it. And that means
right, but
in their system. Okay. Well, I went up to BJ's the other day and was able to buy, and I don't have it. So
right,
if it's the full mark, why was I able to buy?
Buy or sell is always going to be a relative term, right? I mean, unless you believe that the state is all powerful, right? There's always going to be a black market somewhere, right? There's always going to be somebody who is in non-compliance with the legislation or the mandates or whatever it is. So it's never going to be ubiquitous and uniform, right? The definition of buy or sell, right, is on a scale from 0 to 100%, right? And it's not ever going to be 100%. Right, because you can't stop two people trading in the woods or their own home, right? Or they can't stop the drug market.
Oh, I understand that, but
right.
You two people in the woods aren't part of the beast system. BJ's
right.
And Kmart and Walmart are part of the beast system. That's the only point. And the thing of it is, what the point we were trying to make is whether or not it's the mark, it's something you don't want to do. You don't want to put that crap in your body for lots of reasons, not just whether it's the mark or not. I think that's the point we were trying to make.
Well, it's got 666 written all over it, and my position pretty much hasn't changed. I think the whole thing is the mark. I don't think it's necessarily the vaccine. I guess the first question that should probably be asked is forehead a metaphor, right? Or is it literal, right? And is right hand a metaphor, or is it literal, right? Because if it's literal, then it's obviously not the mark, right? But if it's a metaphor, then it's got all of the signatures, right? And like I
right.
said, the buyer sell thing is always going to be relative, right? It's never going to be 100% enforceable everywhere, right?
Yep. Yep.
So,
well,
I mean, you can't buy or sell without it, right? And I mean, if you just look outside the United States, right? I mean, Australia, you can't even leave your home, right? Lithuania, Austria, right? New York, right? Can't buy gas in plenty of places, right?
Well, if you think about it, if you want to go and track down something that meets the qualification of the mark, all you have to do is go to the Social Security number.
Yeah, except that's not 666. It doesn't have 666 written all over it as far as.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about functionally. Something that prohibits you operating in this world and is given to you by the beast is the Social Security number.
Right.
Is
it
not?
The same thing's, Well, the same thing is true of the fiat currency, right? You can't be
Right, that's
on
why
the
I say
grid in the
they're
United States without
right.
dollars, right? But the difference is that those things don't have 666 coming out from every possible direction, right?
Right.
I mean, in any way you want to numerologically categorize this thing with a number, right? You want to qualify it with something. It's got 666 attached to it. I mean, I've got a list here if you want me to enumerate them. Let's see. Let's go down the list here. Okay, Bill Gates, that name in ASCII equals 666. Carbon 12 is 666. Biden's little 6 minutes, 6 hours, 6 days with his infrastructure bill. By the way, the OSHA mandate was deliberately set so that it would apply to 66.6% of the workforce. There's the CARES Act. The Operation Warp Speed logo has 666 in it 3 times. You have social distancing stickers on every aisle at every grocery store, 3 of them that are 6 feet apart. The graphene logo is 666. The number of occurrences of the word apocalypse. Let's see, what else? The word corona has 6 letters that add up to 66. I'll probably go on here. I've got a couple of pages. But
Right.
the biggest one is that, you know, anybody who believes the virus is real is off in La La Land, which is La La La, right? The first 2 letters of land are La, so you have La La La, and it just happens to be sixth note on the musical scale. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you could think that it's anything else. I mean, if to believe that it's not, right, you have to believe that God is gaslighting you on a scale that has never been seen before in all of human history. Because everything else points to this being the mark of the beast. Right. And I'm pretty sure Scripture says somewhere, what is it, 1 Corinthians 14, I think, Yahweh is not the author of confusion. All right, so why would it tick all the boxes and not be it? Is the question.
Well,
But
all, again, what it points to the fact that it should be avoided.
right. I mean, you shouldn't comply with it on just basic, forget if you're an atheist, right? I mean, you shouldn't comply with this just by virtue of the fact that nothing will survive if you do. Right. Like if everybody went along with this, we would all be dead. Right. Which is
Right.
another proof, right? It's an indisputable proof that it's also the mark of the beast. You can disregard all of the math and the way that this thing is 666 from every angle. It's provably the mark of the beast, demonstrably the mark of the beast, by virtue of the fact that something has to be the mark of the beast and nothing is going to survive this. Therefore, this must be the mark of the beast. It's impossible for it not to be. It's mathematically impossible for it not to be.
Okay.
Because there's not going to be anything left. But
That's where
anyway,
we're at. Right.
that's what my position has been for 2 years, and I haven't changed it. With regards to people quitting their job, I think you should sue. Make them fire you. If you want to fight this thing peacefully, the only way to really do it is to be armed with the facts, right, and to file a Title VII suit and avail yourself of the court system and the law. And, you know, maybe that's a losing case, but at least you'll slow it down substantially. I mean, we're seeing that right now, right? But definitely don't quit, would be my
Right.
advice to anybody that's looking this thing in the face. You know, I've had to face it down in order to get the job where I'm working at now. I told them I wasn't going to put on a mask because it was against my religion, and I almost lost the job, but they turned tail and ran pretty quick as soon as I started talking Title VII suits. So there's that.
Right.
But I would pick up every weapon you have. Definitely don't quit and just walk away. Make them fire you and then sue the shit out of them. If nothing else, you'll clog up the court system and keep them from terrorizing other people.
Well, make it painful, just like the woman in the New Testament that wanted justice. She wasn't getting justice. She became a pain in their ass. So it wasn't the quote formal way to do it, but the principle's still the same. Become a gigantic pain in their ass and sometime get justice.
Right. The other thing is you said it was a personal feeling that, you know, Yeshua is going to put an end to this, like before you have to die. I mean, definitively, right, there are definitely going to be, somebody's going to survive this, right? Like, there are still people that are in the flesh, right, when Christ returns. That's very clear, right? Matthew 24 mm-hmm. and other places, right? So somebody's right. going to survive, right? So I don't mm-hmm. see why it wouldn't be you. I mean, as far as I can tell, I've got a better chance than anybody.
Right.
But I don't know. I'd be optimistic. I honestly, like, this whole thing could fly by in, like, 3, 4, 5 years, and you know, the people in this audience could be completely unaffected by it at all, right?
Well, yeah, we're past the year and a half into it, and many of the people I know have lived pretty much normally, just with a few yeah. changes here and there.
Nothing in my right. life has really changed. You know, I had to fight that with that one issue, you know, when I switched jobs. But outside of that, like, I mean, it hasn't affected me yet. And honestly, I don't see why it would, because it seems like the tribulation, the trial, is for everybody that's still on the fence, that forced them to go one way or the other. It doesn't really make right. a lot of sense for the people that are already willing to die, right? Rather than comply right. with this satanic system, regardless of whether you think it's a beast or not, why would they be on trial?
Yep. Right. Doesn't make any sense.
Anyway. Yeah, I understand the whole, like, vacillation thing, but this is one thing I don't flip-flop on. What I do flip-flop on is whether or not, you know, this is more horrific or more hilarious. Because it is kind of funny. I got to be the only yeah. person that's going to, like, bring some sunshine to this. You got to admit, like, it's, like, just the idea of all of it, like, the entire world just completely delusional because they didn't receive the love of the truth for all of those decades, and now they're walking around with diapers on their head, terrified of something that doesn't even exist, and spooked every time someone sneezes, they shit their pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does have an aspect of comedy to it, for me anyway. But it keeps it from getting too depressing if I just look out and try to laugh a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, sometimes you got to laugh or you would cry. So finding humor in some of this, I suppose, is okay. The part that bothers me is how many, if you want to call them innocent, people are being hurt by this nonsense. But maybe they're not as innocent as we think.
I don't think anybody who's an adult is innocent, right? I mean, the children, I mean, is a different story. You know, parents that are vaccinating their kids and stuff like that. But I mean, I know God is just. He would have to be, right? Or otherwise, he wouldn't be God, right? So
mm-hmm.
there's got to be, like, some inherent justice there that I can't see, or some level of protection that I can't see. You know, maybe it's a blessing. I mean, if I could go back in time and leave the world at, you know, the age of 6 or something like that, I definitely would have done it. I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah. It is a nutcase world, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, no one can terrify you of death, right? No one can put you in fear of your life if it's not something that you're hanging on to for any reason whatsoever. If you want to get out of here, right, they've lost all of their power.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. That's yeah. the greatest hold they have over us, right?
Go ahead and kill me. You'd be doing me a favor. Because I know for certain what comes after I've done the math, so.
Right. Well, it's like my father said, there's worse things than dying, and dying is easy. It's the living that's hard.
Yeah. Good times. So,
absolutely. Anything else, brother?
That was it.
All right. Y'all bless. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, if nobody else says anything, and I don't think they do, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. Stay alert. Keep your eyes on the horizon. And remember, you are a living Bible to those around you. And we are here to be of service, not only to the King of Kings, but to each other. So look for opportunities to help your brothers and sisters out whenever you can. For the folks out there that are helping us out from time to time, we certainly do appreciate that, and Yahweh bless your hearts. And let's see, I think that's everything I've got. So Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with one another. We ask you to bless Chris and his family and walk with them and watch over them and all of your brothers and our brothers and sisters around this world as we struggle through these latter days. And as Chris said, and I believe as well, I believe there's blessings for those who have already made the decision that they're not going to succumb to the evil just to save their lives, that we are not going to give our consent. We are not going to comply no matter what it costs us. I believe Yahweh has a protective hedge of angels watching over us. I believe that this system is going to be brought to its knees in the very near future. Chris says in the next 4 to 5 years, it might go that long. Personally, I think it's going to be a little quicker than that, but maybe not. It might go that long. So we just ask, Father Yahweh, that you would continue to walk with us. Give us your Holy Spirit to wash us anew, make us new creatures every single day. Keep the dross and the evil out of us. Let us be shining lights in this world of darkness. And we just pray, Father, that you would forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.